We're on Yudim and Beis by the Mishnah. The very bottom of the page. Precisely four lines from the bottom.
Which says M?
Yes, the M. Or the Mem.
No.
Yes. Okay. Masnisim. So the Mishnah, the third Mishnah in this Masachta, the first Mishnah discussed the parameters of the tefillah, about the Shema of the evening. Second Mishnah was the parameters of the time of saying the Shema in the morning. Now we're going to speak about, now that we know when to say the Shema, we have to understand how. Exactly. Very good. Beis Shammai Omrim. We're going to have a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and you can probably guess who we paskin like.
Right. Is there ever one without the other?
What, Beis Shammai without Beis Hillel?
Yeah.
It's interesting. No, apparently not.
Or Beis Hillel without Beis Shammai. You have the notes from me.
They're usually
they go together like love and marriage, you know, something like this.
Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel constantly are disagreeing like love and marriage, right?
Right. But
there
are other
Zugot
were
right
by another.
Yeah,
and that
that's
always
true. That's true. That's true. So they were, you know, they're in the same generation. So
and if, you had two separate schools.
Some actually explain that Beis Yosef brings down that we don't find Shammai and Hillel arguing. We always find Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, which means the homes, which is really
their students.
Right. So he brings down. He says that the reason why that's the case is that Mishrabu Talmidei Shammai VeHillel, they had so many students, and when you have so many, you have a small amount of students, a small group, you can cultivate them and work with them to be able to make sure that they learn and act the way they should. When you have so many students, you lose control. And therefore, that's the issue, he says, once that happened, Rabu Machlokas Bisrael, it caused a tremendous dispute. Venasas Torah Shnei Toros. It was almost like there was two Torahs. Nechlu Yisrael L'Shnei Batim. It was like two homes. That's the Beis Shammai Hillel. So that's how he explains. So it's not really Shammai Hillel that disagreed. It was the next generation, the students, because there were so many of them, and that's what caused the.
But they had great respect for each other.
They had tremendous respect for one another. And even though we generally paskin like Beis Hillel, it's brought down by the Arizal. The Arizal says that in the future, in the times of Mashiach, we're going to hold like Beis Shammai, and he says the reason for this is actually, doesn't say it in the Sefer, but it's brought down the introduction to the Sefer, the Tanya, which the Baal Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe of Shneur Zalman, he says there's an interesting sentence we find in Chazal, Elu ve'elu dibrei Elokim Chayim, this and this, they're both the words of the true God. And it's a very difficult concept to teach people that don't understand this, because usually there's a right and there's a wrong. Elu ve'elu dibrei Elokim Chayim means there's two rights. Even though they seem exact, they're 180 degrees from each other, they're complete opposites, they can still be both correct. And it says over here, which is really brought over there, how's that so? It's because it depends on the generation that a person is in. It says, the generation that we live up until this point, until the days of the Mashiach, is based on the pasuk that Olam Chesed Yibana, the world's based on kindness and compassion. Beis Hillel, it represents Chesed, because he's more lenient, he's more compassionate, he finds the loopholes and leniencies. Beis Shammai is much more strict. He follows din, he follows the exactness of the law. That's why he's much more stringent, Gevura. And we're not in a generation of Gevura, of din. We're in a generation which needs Chesed. And Days of the Mashiach, it explains, we'll be able to understand withhold the level of the Torah, even Al Pi Gevura, that Midah. That's how he explains.
I will change the order of our Chanukah candles.
Apparently so.
There's an article, the professor of Kabbal from JTS, who said that the main conflict was that Beit Shammai were the more affluent society, and Beit Hillel was more the agrarian society. Mm. The mercantile group, and you had the work agricultural agrarian type.
So which was which?
So Beit Hillel was the agrarian.
Because he was a poor man, right? He was a woodchopper.
So if you had, let's say, better economic status, you could have been more stringent, okay? If you were impoverished, Right. You need more chesed. You need a little more leniency.
Not just that, the trials and the tribulations of the Jews since Korban Bayis, you know, we've gone through so much. I mean, we've been sent from country to country, picked out, persecuted, everything, you know, from whatever, the Muranos, the Hitler Mashamos. I mean, we need all, you know, if somebody's going to be there, you know, people have to have something that they can hold on to that's easy for them to grasp.
Then why do we have the Chum of the Week Club?
Because
they think they live in this machine.
Exactly,
Mashiach.
They think they're Who is the Chum of the Week Club? Who are these people? They're the elitists. They think that they're, you know, they're on a certain level.
No, that's a different. That's a different.
Yeah,
that's
they think they're holier than now.
That's a different Club.
All right, so that's Beis Shammai and that's Beis Hillel. What does Beis Shammai say? Even though we don't hold like him, there's obviously a lot of logic in his opinions, and this is one of them. Be'erev, at night when you say the Shema, Kol Adam, everyone, Yatzev Yikra, a person should lie down and read the Shema. And Beboker, in the morning, by Shachar Yamud, a person should be sitting down, like a lot of people do in Shul. You're supposed to stand up in the Shema. Why? Why would they come up? Exactly. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, you lie down at night. That's how it's telling you. That is how you're supposed to say the Shema. Physically, while you're lying down.
Literal translation.
Right. Kumecha. You're supposed to say the Shema when you're getting up. And some actually interpret the words of this Mishnah of Kol Adam. They interpret this. What do you mean? Every person should do this because there's generally a halacha of Shema Ka'ona. That if I don't need to necessarily say the words. If I'm listening and I have the kavan in my mind that someone else is saying it on my behalf, let's say, for example,
it's like
Kiddush.
Or somebody's benching was saying, Abba Mechifi or whatever, you know.
Then that's it. You don't have to say it. So some actually learn from here that's not enough. That Kol Adam Yatavikro, everyone has to say it. This is one of the times, this is the words of the Prima Gadim, not even holds like this, that you actually have to say the Shema.
Maybe Shema is a separate category than everything else.
Right, that's...
Because Shema is Midoraisa.
Is it because Kol Adam is male and female, or is it only male?
Well, it means male. I mean, women are not obligated to say the Shema.
It's time of life.
Right. So Kol Adam, every male, every man.
But when they say Kol Adam, does it mean every male, or does it mean...
Every human being.
Or everybody.
Sounds like anyone that is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah has to do it in this way, as opposed to hearing it. Okay, but yeah, that's perhaps the interpretation of Adam. Okay, but that's what the pasuk says. A literal translation. Okay, Beis Hillel Omer Nisan. No, that's not what it means. It's not telling you how to do it. It's telling you when it's supposed to be said, when the mitzvah of the Shema is, and there Kol Adam. Kurkadarka, you can read the Shema any way you want. After all, Shanama, as the Pasuk says, you're traveling on the road. The Shema says you're supposed to say it even when you're traveling. And it doesn't imply that when you're traveling you have to lie down, or you're probably standing, but you don't have to be lying down, assuming that it's the nighttime. You don't have to do that. So the question, so Im Kain, if that's so, you can ask the question, so why does it say this? When you're lying down, you're getting up, which implies that's how you're supposed to do it. That doesn't mean that's...
the day.
Right, exactly. B'shah means the time. Shemini Adam Shaychman. B'shah Shemini Adam Omdim. It's the time of the day. It's the time a person lies down, the time a person gets up. But it doesn't mean that you have to say the Shema in that way.
All
right. Oh, right. So that's the Gemara's going to deal with that on the top of the next Omdim. The Gemara's going to actually ask that a very question. That Beis Hillel seems to really explain himself well. Beis Shammai kind of just leaves himself out there to dry, you know.
Not exactly, because you could say B'shach Kol Kumecha is the time and how you're supposed to do it. It's when and how it goes at the same time. When you're getting up in the morning, you stay up in the morning, the left over there, whatever it is. But at night, and if you're in day, you can go...
So the Lech Lecha B'derech means you still have to...
Yet still the day doesn't free you up from not saying, because I'm on the trip, I don't have to say Shema today.
That's what the Gemara is going to be along those lines. It's going to discuss that idea, what you just said. Absolutely. Very good. It's actually a relatively famous piece of Gemara coming up. At least it's found in many sources throughout Shas. A little story. Rav Tarfon said, I want to tell you that Ani Hayisibaba Derech, one day I was traveling on the road, one night I should say, I was traveling on the road. Itesi Likros Kediri Beishama. I realized it was Zman Kriya Shema, so I lied down, I was lying down in the middle of the field, wherever I was, because I wanted to say the Shema according to the opinion of Beishama. And guess what happened? You wouldn't believe it. I was doing a mitzvah for Sakanti Ba'atzmi Mimnehalistim, and I caused myself to be in Sakana, I endangered myself in front of the bandits. There were people that, it's dangerous, you know, just leaving yourself vulnerable in the middle of in a forest. I almost got killed by a bunch of wild, crazy guys. So you must please show some compassion over here for me. Listen to the response, very difficult response, which needs a lot of work. Amrulo, they said to him, Kedai ha'yisil chov atzmacha, Shavarta divrei beis hillel. It is befitting that you should have, it's a question exactly what this word means, chai chov atzmacha, you should have obligated yourself, which means you could have, it's okay that you endangered yourself, because after all, you violated a terrible thing. You violated the words of beis hillel, and the fact that you went against the words of beis hillel, which we hold like, therefore, the fact that you put yourself in danger, that's okay, you should have gotten hurt. You're lucky you didn't get hurt, because you violated a halacha.
Very nice.
Well, which is, obviously, it needs to discuss.
He didn't violate halacha.
Avarta, he transgressed. He went against Beis Hillel's words.
Against the My understanding is very, very simple.
Yeah.
What Beit Hillel is saying, I mean, what Beit Shammai is saying, right, is that you should be standing in the morning and you should be lying down in the evening.
Right.
Beit Hillel is saying you could do it any which way you want.
Right.
Whether lying in the morning, lying at night, or standing in the morning.
Right.
You
right.
could do it that way also.
That's correct.
So therefore you did not...
Over. One of the choices. Even he gets one of that.
You
lying down is a choice.
Right. That's a good point. In fact, that's what the Rashi over here, when it says Kedarko, it says, when Beis Hillel says you can say it in your any old way, Rashi gives the whole gamut, a whole list of different things you could do. Bekima, you could say it standing, which is what Beis Shammai also says you can do in the morning. You're supposed to, Beshchiva, or lying down, which is what Beis Shammai says at night. Beyeshiva, Mahalach, sitting, or traveling. So he says you can do it anyway, right? So the basic idea is like this.
Let me ask a question going to learn that. So based on this terminology, you say even in the morning you could say it lying down. Any time you say it, you could say it lying down.
According
to Beis Hillel.
Right,
and technically even according to Beis Shammai too.
Why?
B'shavko, when you're lying down, you could say, he doesn't say it as a time element, if you really want to stop and look at it. We're saying he does. He just says, when you lie down, you just say it on your side, or when you're standing up, you're standing up.
Right.
So when you're standing up, it's okay. When you're lying down, it's okay. So you can say it anytime lying down.
But not according to Beis Shammai.
No, I'm saying, has Beis Shammai said it different?
Beis Shammai says, the Mishnah tells us clearly that he says, you have to lie down. In the morning, because B'shach B'cha, you must lie down during the nighttime Shema. Uf Kamecha, you must be standing. So the difference is, even though it could be that both, you can have one guy over there, one guy over there, they're both standing by Shachar's, this guy could be holding like Beis Hillel, this guy could be holding Beis Shammai, but the difference is, what were you doing before it? And which the Gemara is going to discuss this in greater detail. But let's say, for example, this person, according to Beis Hillel, if you want, you can say the Shema in the morning standing, no problem. But let's say you're saying the Birchas Kriya Shema before it, you are not allowed to be sitting. You ought to be sitting. But once you get to the Shema, you're not allowed to stand. Because if you're sitting, and then you get to the Shema, and you immediately, at that moment, standing...
So then you finally find the Shema.
Exactly. But if you... This is the way to address that question, which they answer, is in this way, that otherwise, if you're standing the whole time, of course you can daven. Some people, there's no chairs in shul for shacharis, so you can't say the Shema. Of course you can, just as long as you started stand. You were always standing, so when you get to the Shema, you're still standing. But it doesn't give the perception to people that you hold like Beis Shammai. It's you're doing, as the pasuk says, that you're saying the Shema v'lech t'chavaderech in any way you want, even when you're traveling, walking, standing, it's no problem.
I said, then what he was doing is he was walking.
Right.
He was standing. Right. And he lied down specifically to say Kriya Shema according to Beis Shammai.
Right.
And he did that as a specific element changing from his regular pattern.
Right. I mean, that's what, if we read, I'm not sure if this is exact, that's probably what happened. If you read the story in a critical way, it says, Ani Hayisi Babaderecha was going on the road, which sounds like he was in motion, moving.
And all of a sudden he decided to lie down and follow
Beis Shammai. I got to say Shema.
Right, so that was the problem. If he was already lying down, he was already going about to go to sleep and said, oh, I didn't say the Shema, that's not a problem. But the problem is that he stopped his pattern of walking in order to lie down, in order, Likros Kedibri Beis Shammai, I deliberately did it to hold like Beis Shammai. And that was his mistake. That he's not allowed to do. There's actually a Mefarshim also deal with another story, famous Machlokas Beis Shammai's Hill, which is toward the very end of this Masechta, about a person eats a meal, and you washed, of course, and you went on your way, and let's say you're half a mile away. The question is, do you have to go back to the place in order to bench where you ate?
Beis Shammai
says you have to go back. Beis Hillel says, just
do it wherever.
Right, and that's what we hold on. And in fact, there's the Gemara we learn out from here the greatness of the knowledge of Beis Shammai, that Beis Hillel's logic was, that doesn't make any sense. Let's say you were benching on the top, you're on the top of a mountain, right? You're Mount Everest, and you ate a meal. You're going to tell me that you have to climb all the way back up the mountain to bench? So Beis Shammai's response was, what happened if you forgot your wallet on the top of Mount Everest? Would you climb up that mountain again to get your money? So you said, for money, that you would do. So to serve Hashem, Allah has come, you certainly should do. But the story is brought down that there was a person that wanted to go like Beis Shammai. A relatively famous story, may have heard it. And he was traveling in a caravan, and he realized he forgot the bench. So he could just bench where he is. Instead, he told the people, he said, you know, wait, I forgot something. I said, so what did you forget? Because it's something very valuable. I have to go back. I forgot this golden dove, right? I forgot a golden dove. So I said, well, I guess you have to go back. It's that much money. You better go back. So he went in order to daven, to finish the bench. And then miraculously, Hashem rewarded him. He found this golden dove, whatever that means, the whole story. That's a whole question by itself. And the Mefarshim asked, doesn't make any sense. Over there,
we don't even hold like Beis Shammai. We hold like Beis Hillel. So why should you reward?
Well, that's the question. Why over there? Not only you know, he went against Beis Hillel. He went like Beis Shammai,
yeah,
and then he gets rewarded. And here,
right.
So they explain like
sure
this. So they explain like this. The difference between the two is as follows. When it came to the benching over there, Beis Hillel agrees that the preferred method is to go back and bench. He doesn't disagree with that. He just says you don't have to.
But B'diavad, you can do
it wherever you want. B'diavad, you can, right, and that's what we hold like. We hold like Beis Hillel. But he agrees, of course, the best way to do it is to go back. Even Beis Hillel would agree with that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You're still benching. In fact, you're benching where you ate, which is the best thing to do. You don't have to. But if you do, you're going to get rewarded. Over here, they, even though you said the Kriya Shema, you're, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are not agreeing. They're not the same. So since you would go against the words of Beis Hillel in this case, then we have these harsh words that kedai l'chayev l'chol v'atzmacha, that you did a mistake, that you transgressed, you did not follow his words.
According to Beis Shammai, how do you bench on a plane?
Well, you're still benching where you are.
It's
you're supposed to be suspended in midair. You're
starting eating in New York, and now you're benching in your seat. You're in the main.
You're in your seat.
Where's the seat? The seat's in a different location.
Same place where you should last swallow.
14C. You still have an aisle seat. That doesn't change.
I don't have a question about that, honestly.
Some people do.
Do they really?
Yeah, I have a question.
Well, there are shilas about planes, but
some people have a lot of idle time.
The way you respond to that is get a life.
Right, exactly. There's some idle time. I think it's less cautious.
All right, let's see the Gemara. Top of the album now. Bishlama Beis Hillel, Kamafarshi Tamayu. I understand Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel explained their reason, the time to Beis Shammai. He also explained the reason why he basically disagreed with Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel laid it all on the line. Beis Hillel said, you can say the Shema in any place, because after all, the Pasuk does in fact say, V'lach t'chov aderech. And that Pasuk, which the Beis Shammai brought down, V'shach b'cha uv kamecha, that's referring to the time in which one is supposed to say the Shema. So they're clean, very simple. However, a little Beis Shammai, my time a little Amri Kibis Hillel. Beis Shammai, why don't you hold like Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai, you have the problem that even though you have a pasuk b'shach b'chav kamech, which you think means that's how you're supposed to daven, lying down or standing, but what do you do with this pasuk in the first paragraph of the Shema of Alech Tachov Aderech, which tells you can say the Shema even when you're traveling? Apparently, you Beis Shammai, why don't you just agree with Beis Hillel for once? So Amrucha Beis Shammai, so Beis Shammai will tell you, no. The reason why the pasuk says what it does is, in fact, it tells the specific way the person is supposed to say the Shema. Because otherwise, in Cain, if so, lemakra baboker uva erev. If it's only coming to tell us the time in which the Shema is supposed to be said, say instead of lechtecha v'aderech, excuse me, instead of saying b'shach b'cha v'mecha, say in the morning and the evening. Or, as it says on the side, it should say erev baboker, because it's night and the morning. But that's all it should say. It doesn't need to say when you lie down and you get up. So Ma'abul Shach Machav Kamecha. Therefore, Beis Shammai says that pasuk must mean B'shash Shechiva Shechiva Mamish. The time of lying, time when a person lies down means you literally must be lying down to say the Shema. B'shash Kima, the time when people are getting up in the morning, Kima Mamish, you literally must be up. You must be standing when you sing. Okay, but still, Beis Shammai, Hai Uvelech Tachav Aderech. What do you do with this pasuk? The pasuk says you can say the Shema in any fashion, apparently, even when you're traveling on the road. So, therefore, how could you tell me that it has to be literally lying down, literally standing? It's not true. So, what are you going to do? So, more answers. Hahu miboiluhu, he needs it. Look at his son. For that which we look. B'shach, what did the pasuk say? It says, b'shiftecha b'vesecha, when a person is sitting in their home, presumably just hanging out, doing nothing, watching the Jets lose. Prado osik mitzvah. Must be coming to a school that you're doing a mitzvah. What does it mean, b'shiftecha b'vesecha? It says you should say the Shema when? Only when you're sitting in your home, which implies that you're just kicking it. You're not doing anything. Gemara is going to ask why. How is that inferred? Gemara's going to try to explain how that's inferred. But at this point, we're assuming that it is. That whenever a person's sitting in their home, it's excluding an osek mitzvah. Which means, let's just see the next few words. Uvelechtecha v'aderech, and a person is on the road, a person's traveling, you're driving to wherever you're going, probably a prad l'chassan. It's come to exclude a chassan, who's also involved in a mitzvah, the mitzvah of getting married. So this teaches us the principle, says Beis Shammai, that this psukim of Lechtecha v'aderech is come to exclude an osik b'mitzvah. An osik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. Right? A person who's engaged in one mitzvah, he doesn't have to do the other mitzvah. Mefarshim asks the question, well, the whole principle doesn't make any sense. Let's say because I'm wearing tzitzis, that means I don't have to do any other mitzvah? Right,
in the midst of an act.
Right, exactly. It means that you're actually an osik. You're involved in the mitzvah, which could be taking you away from other mitzvahs.
Or you can't do both mitzvahs at the same time.
Right, that's right. That's how some they explain it. And the Ritva further explains the interesting idea of osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. Is let's say you're doing a mitzvah, whatever it may be. Whatever it is, you're building
building is sukkah.
Yeah. Actually, the Gemara gives the example of osik mitzvah patur min sukkah. It's the opposite way around, but that certainly could be an example.
Right.
So yes, let's say a person is traveling to do some type of mitzvah. Right? He's in the move to, so then he does not have to sit in the sukkah. Okay. So the question is, what if the mitzvah that you're doing, not that we can really weigh one mitzvah, but the Ritva says, what if the mitzvah you're doing is a small mitzvah, not such a huge biggie, and the other mitzvah that you could be doing is huge, pinyin shvuyin, redeeming someone, or something significant. So the chiddush is, ha'osek mitzvah, once you're involved in a mitzvah, even if it's so small, you are not supposed to do the other mitzvah, even though apparently it looks like it's larger. Because once you're pukter from a mitzvah, you're not obligated to do it. So it's no longer a big mitzvah to you. It's considered rishus, it's optional. And therefore now it's not small mitzvah versus large mitzvah, it's small mitzvah against...
Mitzvah against mitzvah, really.
Or something you don't even have to do. Because once you osik mitzvah, you're pukter from that other mitzvah, you don't have to do it. So therefore that other thing, as huge as it looks, is no longer commanded. Because you're pukter from doing it. So that's how the Ritva explains the significance of this idea.
So that'll follow with the same concept that someone who is doesn't have a chiyuv on the mitzvah and doesn't have the same schar as someone who's required to do it.
Right. Yeah. Godol mishim etzuba v'osa. You're commanded and obligated is to do it. You get more reward. Exactly. So that's what Beis Shammai is learning out. It's coming to exclude these people who are not obligated, they're not obligated to do mitzvahs, because they're osek in a mitzvah, patim in a mitzvah. One is more generic, osek mitzvah. The other one is a chasam, a guy who's getting married. Okay, so that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude. Mikan omrun, from here we can learn, hakonis es a besula, a person who marries a girl who is a virgin, a besula, never married, patim. He is not obligated to say the Shema. But as almana chayiv. But if he marries only a widow, a woman who's getting married for a second time, he's obligated to say the Shema. The logic, what do you mean? A chasana, marriage is a mitzvah regardless, whichever way you slice it. So Rashi says, why is one a mitzvah, not another? Another one's not a mitzvah. So he says, it's not just that there's a mitzvah involved here, but rather, shetarud b'machsheves b'ilas mitzvah. A person who is marrying a besula has more on his mind, the fact that he's marrying this girl who is a besula, and therefore because he's so preoccupied, he's tarud in this mitzvah, therefore because of this, he's potter. And some explain, it's not brought down Rashi, I can't remember who says it, is that the idea is, there's a whole first parak of Ksuvos talks about the issue of Pesach Besuach. There's the concern that I'm marrying a Besula, and then what happens if she's not? What happens if she's not? And then there's the whole question, bring her a Besdin, or the whole nine yards of Mosi Shemra. So some explain that's the Tirda. His concern is she really a Besula? Which I mean, something to think about what exactly the Tirda is. But nonetheless, it's a mitzvah, and therefore, that's what it means. Only when a person's traveling on the road, just hanging out, just driving to work or wherever they're going, they're driving to Florida, that person isn't doing a mitzvah, that's the person who says the Shema. But if you're osik in a mitzvah, then you're pukter. So Gemara asks your question, my mashma. How do you see from those words, b'shivdecha, that you're sitting in your home? How do you see that it's talking about you not doing a mitzvah? Omer HaPapa, he says, ki derech, it's just like a road. Ma derech, rishus, just like a person is driving on the Belt Parkway, it's rishus, he's just doing it for his own purpose, for the fun of it. Avkal rishus, it's coming to teach you so too, all times, only when you're just doing something which has no mitzvah, that's when you say the Shema. Excluding when you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to say. Gemara says, one second, how do you know the fact that you're driving on the Belt Parkway, I-95, who says that means you're not doing a mitzvah? What do you mean? Ki derech ma derech rishus. Milu askinam. Isn't that possible that maybe we are talking about the following scenario? The ka'azal devar mitzvah. Maybe that guy's traveling on the Belt Parkway, he's driving he's the moel at some kid's bris. Maybe he's driving to do a mitzvah. Da'afilu hachi, nonetheless, omer rachman alikru. The Torah is telling us, maybe, it says, even that guy, the Moel, who's driving in his car to do a mitzvah, still he has to read. How do you know that the Talmud Rishon? Somewhere he answers like this. And this is the fundamental answer of this whole of Beis Shammai. Im Kain, if that's so, Lichta Rachmana B'Shevis of Alechas. Let it just say that you were sitting or you were going. My b'shivticha uvalechticha. What does it mean that your sitting was for your own sitting? Or your traveling was for your own traveling, which means for your own sake. So he interprets the reading of those words is b'shevas didach, u'b'lechas didach. The reason why you're sitting in your house, or the reason why you're traveling, why does the Torah say those words? B'shivticha b'meisecha. That you were sitting for your own sake in your house. U'b'lechticha b'derech. You were traveling for your own benefit. For yourself. You weren't doing it because you were commanded to do it. You're doing it because it was, you know, Rishos. That's when Hudi Mechayeves. That's the only time a person is obligated to say the Shema. Hada mitzvah, patiris. But if a person's involved in a mitzvah, then you don't have to say. So that's how the Ben Shammai learns out from the words of the Shema, that when the Torah tells us, v'lech t'cha v'derech, it's talking about when do you have to say the Shema when you're on the road? You're supposed to say it because you're on the road for yourself. That's the words, u'v'lechtecha, you're going for yourself. Lechtecha, you're going for yourself. That's when you say the Shema. Implying that if you're osek in a mitzvah, I'm not going because I'm doing it for myself. God is telling me to do this mitzvah bris for this child. It's not me, it's not my going. It's not v'lechtecha. Therefore, at that point, I do not have to say the Shema. Osek b'mitzvah is patur b'mitzvah. That's how Beis Shammai learns this piece of Gemara. Okay? Alright. So the Gemara says, one second. So you're telling me that when does a person say the Shema? When it's Rishus. You're involved in your own affairs. If you're involved in mitzvah, pot.
Right. I want to play devil's advocate.
Yes.
Then how does Beit Hillel explain Beit Shammai's interpretation of Rishitzacha and
How will Beis learn? Which
how will Beis learn that Osek was a part of mention?
The
maybe he doesn't hold that one.
He certainly does.
Unfortunately,
I don't remember the Gemara extremely well in Sukkah, but they learn it out from other sources to tell us that a person who's Osek mitzvah is pater no mitzvah. I can't remember where. I think there's another source. Okay, I can't remember. The Gemara in Sukkah discusses it, asks that it breaks it down.
What you're really dealing with here now is a very interesting phenomenon. It's deriving a halacha based purely on semantics.
That's what the Torah tells me. Right.
So therefore, if Beit Shammai's interpretation is true, then Beit Hillel is going to have to find a way to explain what they're doing right now. What those words mean to them.
Right. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Beis Hillel cannot learn out this pasuk. He does learn it out, and if I remember correctly from the Gemara in Sukkah, I need to review it again. Belie discusses the situation of Pesach, by Karban Pesach, that there were people that were, they saw Meis Mitzvah, and because of that, because they became impure, they were not able to bring the Karban Pesach. Right. And for some, that's how they learned out. From that source, someone who's involved in a mitzvah is pater from another mitzvah, if that makes any sense, which I'm not.
Why? What would Beis Shammai do with that story?
Pesach Sheni is these people with tummies, you know, have Pesach Sheni. That is the ones that took out Nadav Avihu, the cousins.
Nadav
Avihu's cousins, they took them out and from the mission.
They took them out the belt. They took a hook to pull them out.
Right.
So they really didn't touch them.
No, but they became tummy. And therefore, that was Yom Shmini. So it came the 15th day, they were still, the 14th day of Nisan, they were still tummy. They couldn't be the Karban Pesach. So they said, what do we do? So they said, Pesach Sheni.
Right. Okay.
That was What the cousin's name?
Mishon El Tzafan.
Mishon El Tzafan, Brazil.
So let's say you tell me I'm Professor Harisha, okay? Can you guarantee that I'm going to tell me Professor Shane?
No, but at least you have an option. I mean, you have a chance.
And if you don't need the current Pesach?
Huh?
If you don't need the current Pesach of a given year, then what?
Depends if you're honest or not. If you're on purpose, you're chayav chayav.
That's good, that.
If you don't need the current Pesach, so you have a chance on Pesach Sheni. Okay. Now, if you deliberately don't bring that Pesach Sheni,
right.
So that I think is still chayav chayav.
I think so also.
But if something should happen and come to me again and you can't bring it from Pesach Sheni, that's it. So you didn't get the mitzvah. But you're not chayav chayav.
Yeah, the Gemara gives that example. The Gemara is actually, there's a very large Rashi here which discusses what exactly was the person, the case over there by Pesach Sheni. It ends up explaining it's a meis mitzvah that they saw there was a meis mitzvah. The question is, should we bury this the remains? We're going to become tamei, and then we're not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach.
So they chose to take that and show another video rather than.
Right. And the Gemara over here discusses, it's interesting because it doesn't bring down that this is what Beis Hillel holds. The Gemara says, oh, this is another source. It doesn't say, but the Gemara explains that there's a fundamental difference between those two examples. Because the example that we have over here, you're already involved in a mitzvah. And then afterwards, another mitzvah comes along. You don't have to do it because you're already involved in a mitzvah. Here, there were these people that had a calculated decision to make.
Well,
they knew there was a Karban Pesach, which they didn't have that mitzvah yet, and they could do this mitzvah, or the mitzvah which will happen right that one.
But,
so they chose this one instead.
Because they had an option to do the other one later on.
No, they didn't know. They didn't know yet. This is one of the five cases where most of they didn't know what to do.
Right. That's the question about what was.
But they were ordered to do it also. So
I would somehow think that the meis mitzvah has precedence over all other things.
Right. I would say so also.
It does.
Like the biggest mitzvah.
That was the decision that they made. That's the reason why they didn't bring the Karban Pesach, because they were tamei for some way. Anyway, so probably for some reason that we don't get into this, but that's Beis Hillel. Would utilize that as a source to be able to support this idea of osim mitzvah and mitzvah. All right. Okay. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says, that if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're potter. You don't have to say the Shema. Okay. So you're telling me now it's all dependent on a mitzvah. Okay. We're back in the Gemara. We're up to, where are we? Ihachi. There's a little asterisk over here, right? That's what we're up to. Ihachi, if that's so, it's about maybe 12 lines on the top. If that's so, the field Kone says all mananam. If the whole thing is based on a mitzvah, well, marrying for a woman who's been married once before, who's a widow, that's also a mitzvah. So why did you tell me above that you're chayev, you have to say the Shema in that case? You're doing a mitzvah. So where it says, there's a difference. Hai tarid, b'hai lo tarid. In one case, you're very much troubled, which is the case of the Basula. The case of the Almana, you're not Tarid, there's nothing bothering you. So therefore, in the case that you're Tarid, that you're very much, something's bothering you, you're not going to be able to have the Kavanah to say the Shema properly. That's the reason why. Koine says the Basula, if you marry a Basula, you're going to be plucked from saying the Shema.
We get that answer before.
Right. So what is it? So, but Almana. So we see it's not dependent on a mitzvah. It's dependent on Tarid, something which is troublesome, something which is weighing on your mind, something which is disturbing so much you'll be able to kabbalah. So by a basula, you're going to have that.
Is that the same reason that for an Odein is not a priyev to say Shema or to Tadar?
It's
preoccupied
with
yes. That's going to be the beginning of the third parak. It's going to talk about that idea. That's absolutely right. That's right. So Gemara says, one second. You're telling me now it's nothing to do with the mitzvah. It has to do with if you're troubled, you're bothered, something
preoccupied.
Preoccupied. If that's so, mishum tirda, so a field tava svinasa b'yam nami. Let's say it's Titanic over here. You know your ship is sinking in the sea. So you're probably going to be a little bit bothered. You're going to be very worried. You know, I lost my fortune. You're going to tell me over there, Hashem's going to say, don't worry, you don't have to say the Shema in that case. What are you talking about? Why wouldn't you have to say the Shema? It's unfortunate. Hopefully I had insurance, but the reality is, tirda should not be the reason why you should or should not be obligated to say the Shema. V'chitei mahachinam. If you want to make a quantum leap and say that that's true, that it all depends on what's bothering a person, well, let's learn some Hilchos Avelos for a moment. Alama Omer Rav Abba Bar Zavda Omer Rav. Why did he say the following statement? That an Avel is Chayim B'chol HaMitzvos HaMoris B'Torah. A person who is in the state of Avelos mourning has to fulfill all of the mitzvos. Chutz min Tefillin Shehari Nemar Behem Po'er.
He means mourning now, I suppose.
Yeah, it doesn't bring this down here. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about it's only in the first day.
Right. It's the same thing. But a person who's an Avel is supposed to put tefillin on. It's just when he's an Onan, he doesn't put tefillin on.
That's what I'm saying.
So it has to be an Onan here. They're talking about Onan in this case.
Yeah. There's an asterisk next to the word Avel. What is that?
It's brief. It's the Masoras Hashas. All these different Gemaras, which it's brought down in. Unfortunately, that's all it is. But there's going to be a Tosis, which is going to discuss it. But we're going to have to see the Rashi, which Tosis is going to have a question on. In a moment.
So what is, I understand the source. Is this Shenev Rahim Pa'er, what does that mean?
Oh, it is, okay. Because with regard to Shenev Rahim Pa'er, tefillin are considered to be glorious, a glorious garment that a person wears. Shenev Rahim, as the Pasuk says, with regard to Yechezkel, that when Yechezkel was an Avel, and he was mourning for his loss, Hashem told him, Perecha Chavash Alecha, you, only you, that's how we deduce, you, Yechezkel, must continue to wear your pa'er, your glory, your tefillin. That Yechezkel was not allowed to remove the tefillin from himself, even while he was in Avil. For whatever reason, you have to study Yechezkel there, why that's the case. But the Gemara in Sukkah learns out, only Yechezkel has to keep the tefillin on, but no one else. Right? So the question is, okay, that's the reason. That's the reason by tefillin. We'll see the Rashi's in greater detail what's the significance of this, which is more of a sidebar. But the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Why is an Avel, a mourner, why is he obligated to do all the mitzvahs? If you're telling me the whole criteria of being obligated or a putter from a mitzvah, is tirda, the person's an Avel. I mean, the person is tarred. The person is having, mental anguish, he's consumed by his loss. So what does it mean that your an avel is chai b'chol hamitzvos hamoros b'torah? How could you say such a thing? Must be that tirda, the fact that a person is bothered by something, is not a reason to make a person patur or chai. Okay. So therefore, the Gemara in conclusion says as follows. The Gemara says as follows. You're partially right. Gemara says, Hasam tarid tirda the mitzvah. Over there, when we're talking about this boy that's going to be marrying this girl who is a basula, there's two things going on. He's doing a mitzvah, he's marrying someone, and he's tarid. He's also consumed. He's bothered. So such a person is not obligated to say the Shema.
Which, no way or worse, you could say the same thing with the mace. The person he's doing the mitzvah of Tavirus and mace, and he's also tarred of the fact that he lost somebody. So it's really the same thing, if you want to say that. It's not a good analogy.
Unfortunately, Rashi doesn't bring it down. I think Rashi over there brings it down. Rashi explains, well, let me just see the next line over here first. The next line of the Gemara. So that's tirda hasam tarid tirda the mitzvah. Hacha tarid tirda the rishus. Over there, his trouble is something which is rishus, something which he is. It's his own business affairs. The fact that the boat sinks, that's not enough of a reason.
But we're talking about a mace.
Oh, so in the case of a mace, I don't know why it doesn't bring this down, but Rashi explains over there that there are certain acts of a velus But even those acts of Avelis, it's not. You have to kind of. It's, I'm not really sure how to explain it very well because I don't see it inside. But he says a person who sits shiv, for example, or an onan, there's no mitzvah for that person to be tarud, for that person to be self-consumed.
What are you talking about? There's a mitzvah of burying the mace.
No.
There's certain actions that the Torah requires you to do. There's certain things that a person, certain hilchos avelos that a person must perform. Certain things you're not allowed to do. Certain things that you are allowed to do. But there's no actual mitzvah of being tarud, of being consumed by this loss. That's something which is tir de derishos. That's not something which a person needs to. It's not. You're not that being tarud is not attached to a mitzvah per se. Which the question is about. That's
so. That's why we right. So. I mean, that should be more mature than the rishus right. Than
right, exactly.
I don't know. It's a good question.
It doesn't really make sense.
Right. So that I have to look that up. That's gonna be my homework for the week. But it's a valid question. But that's how they explain the chiluch, the differences between if you're being tarred in a mitzvah, troubled and you're doing a mitzvah, that's okay. But if your ship is sinking, that's no mitzvah, even though you're tarred, doesn't help. And apparently that also means if a person is not consumed, but they're doing a mitzvah, it's also not necessarily a reason to be potter. Fine.
Yeah, but you know, so even with sinking ship, we talk about pikuach and nefashos, and a person is letting treif, do anything to save a life. Here, if his ship is drowning and his life is in danger, what can
we do? Well, that doesn't mean the ship is drowning.
He's not on a ship.
His
merchandise is on that ship.
Right.
How do you know that?
I don't know. They didn't have to ship the shore radios.
I mean, if
I feel tabas vinasoba yamnami, even when his ship sank in the sea.
That's his
right. How do you know that he's not on the boat?
Because he would have sunk too.
First of all, it says tava.
He wouldn't be around.
It's ship tava. Doesn't it talk about...
No, but the way it says ship tavas mina tava means he just found out that it just sank.
If he was on a ship, he'd never know about it.
How
do you know?
He's under the
sea.
He would have drowned. You don't know about it, sir.
He could be a lifeboat.
Right, but if you read it, it says
Tabat,
it already happened. It doesn't mean it's happening at the moment.
It could be he's on a lifeboat. You're right. Doesn't mean that he's necessarily on the shore.
Right.
But he's certainly not in the boat.
I mean, they didn't have cell phones in those days. My ship is sinking. I mean, you had to be there to know it. Otherwise,
it says Tabat. It doesn't say Tobea. It's past tense.
He's
found out about it.
It also doesn't have to be. Necessarily, this case it means that a person who has incurred a financial loss.
Right.
I mean, it could be that example. Of course, it gives that example, but it's an expression for one who incurs a financial loss. All right, I'd like to let's just for a moment over here. If you can entertain me for a second, let's see the there's a Rashi about the Ovel and Tefillin. Rashi tells us about this guy who's wearing. These tefillin, he says, where's this Rashi? Alama Omer Rabbi Abba. It's actually a few lines, but it's right over here, about a third up on the top on the page. Let me fit 18 lines from the top. The Rashi says, Alama Omer Rabbi Abba. And then it says, Kamo Lama Omer Apo Pisha Tarid Betzar, even though he's involved in pain, Chai Bechol Mitzvos, he has to do all the mitzvos. Chutzvin the tefillin. He does not have to wear tefillin. Shenemar b'hem pa'ered liyecheskel parcha chavash alecha yecheskel. Wear your tefillin. No one else has to. And then Rashi says this: Kivon debo pa'er. Since you need to wear glory upon your head, upon your forehead, above your forehead, the avil misgolel b'tsaro b'afar ein ze pa'er. A person who is in mourning is literally is golel. He's rolling around in sorrow. And in the afar, in the dirt, that's not glory. He's not in a glorified state. And therefore, because of this, he does not have to wear the tefillin. And the Tosfos over here asks, why does Rashi have to go and talk about this case, that the reason why is because he's rolling around in the dirt. That's why he doesn't have to wear the tefillin. Tell me the pasuk where the Gemara told us that only Cheslas wear tefillin, but implying no one else has to. So we're going to conclude with this Tosus. We'll stop after this. Top Tosus says, Perish Rashi, Ba'ovel ba'oyel ba'okher. He's rolling in the dirt. He's dirty. Ve'ein no'el lasis pe'er tachas ofer. It's not good to put this tefillin, this glorified tefillin, which is under or rolling in the dirt. So Tosus asks, why does Rashi need to come onto this? Tapiklay, just learn. Once Yecheskel, you have to wear tefillin. No one else is allowed to wear the tefillin. So why do you need to come onto this whole dirt case? So he answers the teretz. The answer could be Asher Makutzi, that Sarach Taima show Rashi that the reason Rashi needs to come onto this reason. No one should learn out from tefillin that the same law applies to other mitzvahs. A person shouldn't think that just like an ovel doesn't have to wear tefillin, so too maybe an ovel doesn't have to do other mitzvahs. Tefillin's a pretty big mitzvah, and you don't have to wear them. So a person would think, gee, if you don't, an ovel doesn't have to wear tefillin, maybe you don't have to do a whole bunch of other mitzvahs as well. And that's why Rashi says no. The reason why is because you're rolling in the dirt, and therefore that's not something which is befitting for tefillin, which implies all other things, all other mitzvos, you're obligated to do. And then Tosus concludes, as will we, Inami, another answer, Sarach Taima the Rashi, the reason Rashi says this reasoning is L'chaibo b'tefillin li'achar yom rishon, to tell you that after the first day you have to now put on the tefillin. The putting of the dirt upon one's head is a custom that it was only done on the first day, but not thereafter. So that's what Rashi is saying, that that's the reason why, so that no one should think that the tefillin did not be are not worn afterwards. They were put on the first day.
After the body is buried, then you put the tefillin on.
Yes, right.
That's how they explain Yom. The first day means the first. Right, it's...
Until they're buried.
Right. Okay, it's only after you're buried, that's already a different day.
I was told that an onan is not chayav any mitzvahs asay. It's any
mitzvahs asay. This is the psak of this particular amora, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what we do halacha. All right. Shkoyah.